We are in the second part of our series that we started last week, Impact Your World. And this is just probably one of my favorite parts of the year, because it's the time where we kind of shift our attention and shift our focus as a church. If you're new to Destiny Harvest, first, hi, how's it going? My name is Stephen Chandler. I'm the senior pastor. We're just excited that you're here. But we have a very particular purpose and a vision as a church. Our goal is to help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and to make a lasting difference, to make an impact on this earth that God has placed us with. I always say there's only one reason why God has left you here on earth. How many people believe that heaven is going to be better than earth? That was a very weak response, which means I'm going to give a very strong altar call at the end of service. How many people believe that heaven is better than earth, that where you're going, that wasn't much better, but I don't have all day, so we'll keep on moving. The only reason why God would leave us here on earth if heaven is that much better is because there's a mission that he has for us. There's something that we've been called as believers, as a church, to accomplish. It's called the Great Commission. There is something that God has left us here on this earth to do. And ultimately, I sum it up by this: to make an impact, to leave an impression on this earth that is far greater than anything that we could do. So quite frankly, for most of the year, we're focused on you guys. We're preaching messages that are helping you build your marriage and helping you build your faith and raise your children and to become all that God has called you to become. Our connect groups. Anybody enjoy connect groups? Come on out. I was a part of the leadership connect group, and it was just, man, all the way awesome. I think we have one more meeting. Connect groups are ending in 2 weeks, and don't worry, a quick holiday break, and then they're going to be coming back the first week of February. But the majority of what we do as a church is focused on you, helping you grow in your faith. But this season, this end of the year season as a church, we kind of shift our focus. The messages shift, the attention of the church shifts, our focus shifts. So it's not so much about you. Is that okay? For these last 8 weeks of the year, but our focus is, how can we make a lasting impact? How can we impact those around us? How can we make a difference? Here's what I want you thinking about. I want you thinking about, what is my impact? What's my impact? Every single person has an impact. What's an impact? An impact is simply the difference you make outside of yourself. The impact, or the transformation, or the effect that you have not on your life or your children or your household, but the people around us. And the reality is, everybody makes an impact on earth. It could be a positive impact, or it could be a negative impact. And our goal is that we would be positioned to make a positive impact, an impact that matters in God's opinion. And ultimately, an impact that our children and our children's children can remember. The Bible says this in Psalm 112, verse 5. God will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Watch this. Surely he will never be shaken. That sounds almost too good to be true, that you can get into a place where life will never shake you. And it doesn't say that there won't be a shaking. The Bible actually says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Life gets shaken sometimes, but what it's saying is that as we live outside of ourselves, as we live to make an impact and not just for ourselves, the Bible says that you, as a righteous person, even if everything around you is shaken, you will not be shaken. A righteous man, and here's the deal, will be remembered forever. My goal is, long after I left this planet, that there's an impact that I'll be remembered by. That it won't just be a tombstone with an opening date and a close date. I went to the Billy Graham Museum, and they took a picture of one of the tombstones there, and it said, "Construction is now complete. Thank you for your patience." My goal is that the only thing, y'all didn't laugh. That was, she was a work in progress her entire life. You didn't get that? come on, 9:30, you guys up? I thought that was funny. But my goal is that there's not a piece of stone is the only thing that remembers me by. But that I made an impact that was so much further than my life, that literally lives were transformed. And that's the opportunity that we have over these last 8 weeks of the year. So what I want to do is just give you, hey, specifically, what does that look like at this church? And then end out with what's the why for that impact. So the first thing that's coming up is our impact offering. On December 10th, our impact offering is an offering that we do every single year. It used to be called Passion Initiative, and we switched the name this year because our goal is to make an impact. And here's the purpose or the mindset behind this offering is that we would give above and beyond, not our tithe, but above and beyond for the acceleration of what God is doing here at Destiny Harvest Church in our city, in this nation, and across the world. We made some decisions 6 years ago when we started this church, and one of the things that we decided is that we are just not going to be a high-pressure church when it comes to giving and when it comes to finances. I don't believe in that. I don't like that, and I just kind of figured nobody else likes that either. So what we've done every year is we've let you know 8 weeks before the offering ever comes up, hey, this is the time that we're going to bring our best towards God, and here's what we're asking. That you would take time, that you would pray, and that you would hear from God and say, God, how would you have me respond? What would you have me give over and above my normal giving, God, for the advancement of your kingdom? And then on December 10th, you've had plenty of time to think about it, to pray about it, to have a peace about it, and no manipulation or anything like that. And then you can come and obey God's voice. And as we say over and over and over again, obedience releases miracles in our lives. So you're saying, hey, where's that offering going? What's the goal of that? Well, the goal of that offering is to accelerate the vision here at Destiny Harvest in five different areas, or what we call our five impact lanes. The first lane is the projects that we have here at Destiny Church. Now, I've been hinting at this, and I actually did announce this on a Vision Sunday, but we are altering the name of our church. January 1st, we are switching from Destiny Harvest Church to Destiny Church. Yeah. We need like a scream button in the back where they just cue scream. And the entire mindset is not that deep or spiritual or anything like that. We're still believing in the harvest, but we're believing that this new season that we're stepping into as a church, that God is going to bring new opportunities of launching worship albums and conferences and all this other kind of stuff. And just quite frankly, it gets really long if you're talking about Destiny Harvest Worship, Destiny Harvest Conference. Destiny Worship kind of fits a whole lot better, and there's a whole more thing. So it's kind of a vision thing that we're believing that God's going to begin to expand our influence, and we're making room for that expansion. So the first lane of this offering is projects here at Destiny Church. The main project is our new building that we are moving into in the early spring of 2018. One of the things that we have done from day one is manage the church's finances with a margin. We've never operated on 100% of what has come in, A, because we don't ever want to be in a financial pressure situation, but also because we want to be able to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us. This year, in fact, we have operated our church on about 70% of what's come in. About 70% of what's come in has gone to be a blessing to you, to help you grow in your faith. 10% we gave away, as we do every single year. And then 20% of that has gone into savings to take advantage of opportunities that come up. And this building was an opportunity that came up out of nowhere. And if you notice, we didn't have to come up and say, hey guys, we need a big offering because there's a building and we can't sign on it until we... No. Because of your continued generosity, we were able to sign and commit to that building without any major... Deal. Give yourself a hand for that. Is that not awesome and phenomenal? So one part of this offering is going to be to go and to finish out the renovations. And most of it is done. We literally just need to put in floorings. We're going to paint. We're going to expand the platform just a little bit. And currently, the building seats about 500 people, which is about from the back of that pipe and drape to the front of this room. It has the capacity, though, with knocking a few classrooms down, to expand to 700 seats, which is actually the exact size of this room right now. So our goal is, as the resources come in, to make sure that we have that extra space. So it's going to feel almost like we're moving from here to a place this same size, just we don't have to take anything down. Come on now, is that not a blessing? You're clapping because you don't know. There were people who got up at 4 a.m. this morning, walked into church at 5 a.m. to make all this happen. Can you give the setup team a hand for their sacrifice and their generosity? So the first lane are those projects. The second lane is something that we are relaunching at the beginning of next year, and that's the Destiny Leadership Academy. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said there is never an issue, and I could preach an entire message on this. Jesus said the issue is never that people don't want God. That's why it's so important that you don't take your opinion on life from CNN, Fox News, or any other survey. Because if you listen to what society says, society will say, oh, we're a godless nation. We're turning our backs on God. Nobody wants God anymore. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, the harvest is ripe. There are people that are desperate and hungry for God. Listen to me. The further away the world gets from the principles of God, the more they're going to desire God, because they're going to realize that He is the only answer and the only solution. Here's what Jesus said the real problem is. Jesus said the real problem is there's not enough laborers. There's not enough people that can actually take care of all those new believers when they come into the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, don't worry about getting people saved. Worry about raising up leaders so that when I send those people, you can take care of them, you can love them, you can make sure that they know that there's a family that cares for them, that is for them. So our mission through the Leadership Academy is to raise up men and women of God who feel called into leadership in the church, so that when God sends 1,000 people in 4 weeks, we have the leaders, come on now, to be able to disciple them, to help them know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and to make a difference. We're actually partnering with Highlands College, which is an accredited Christian college where people are actually going to be able to get their AA degree and their bachelor's degree in leadership and biblical studies right here at Destiny Church. I see how I threw that in. The other three lanes, one lane is going to be local missions. Already we're involved in helping with the homeless shelter here in the Howard County community. We were able to bless, which was probably one of my favorite projects this year. We were able to help renovate a transitional home for children that are coming out of foster care. They've aged out of foster care, but they're still a little bit too young to be out on their own. There's a transitional home for that. And because of your generosity, your time, and your effort, you were able to renovate that home. Come on now, add paint to it and make sure that these children had a place where they were loved, where they felt excellence around them. So we want to continue on in those projects. And then our national missions. We're a part of an organization called ARC, the Association of Related Churches. It's really interesting. Statistics show that Christianity is the fastest growing religion in the entire world. Christianity is actually growing at a faster rate than the increase of population by 103% in all but 20 nations in the world. There's 193 nations, and 173 of those nations, Christianity is growing faster than the population. But there's 20 nations where the population growth is outpacing the growth of Christianity. And it may shock you, but United States is one of those countries that are a part of the 20. 4,000 churches close every single year in the United States of America. And we believe as a church, it's not just our focus or our mission or our mandate, what we call the DMV, DC, Maryland, and Virginia. It's just not me and my, as long as me and my cousin are saved, I'm fine. But I believe God's gonna hold us accountable, God help us, for Arkansas. I believe that God is actually going to hold us accountable for what did you do in Houston to help people come to Christ, and in San Diego and all these different places. So what we want to do is we want to be able to plant churches continually in cities across this nation to help people realize that Jesus is the answer to racism, to poverty, to the lack of education, to every single problem in this nation. The answer is not in Washington, D.C., in New York City, or in Silicon Valley. The only answer is in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to scream, okay? Are you guys ready? Because of your giving and your generosity, already partnering with other churches, you have planted 118 brand new churches just this year alone. Is that not exciting? On the first Sunday of those 118 churches, 20,000 people across all those churches went to church for the first time. 1,500 people gave their life to Christ the first Sunday of those churches. So what we want to do is we want to continue to be able to plant churches in 2018, which part of this is going to be going to. Actually, next Sunday, you're going to get to hear from my brother-in-law who's planting one of those churches in Alexandria, Virginia, that you have given to. And you remember Pastor Josh Monty, who was here earlier? He's planting his the second week of January in Wellington. God called him to West Palm Beach to plant a church. I don't know what kind of calling that was. But all of these, listen to me, because of your generosity, you're having an impact in places that you may never physically go. You're able to make a difference far beyond yourself. And then the last area is international missions. And we're a part of an organization that plants churches across the world, but particularly in the 1040 window. There's an area of the country from 10 degrees, 4 degrees north and south, and probably from about the tip of Africa over to Japan. And statistics show that this is the most unreached region in the entire world, the last area that still needs the gospel of Christ to be reached. Over 90% of poverty in the entire world is in this 1040 window. All of terrorism comes out of this 1040 window. And we believe as a church that Jesus is the answer to any problem that the world faces. So our focus is particular on planting life-giving churches, not sending missionaries. And nothing against sending missionaries, but so often, unless missionaries are raising up the people to reach the other people, long time, it takes the missionaries a long time to learn the culture. But what we're actually doing is we're funding pastors and churches that are already in the community, already know the language, already know the culture, to be able to reach and impact people around them. Already you have planted over 7 churches, just Destiny Harvest, across that area in countries like Sierra Leone, in Nepal, in Nigeria. We can't really show it or mention a lot about it, but you planted a church in China. Where any church out of a government church is illegal, but yet because of your resources, there are hundreds and thousands of people coming to Christ in the underground church in China. Somebody say amen. So those are the 5 lanes that we're giving to. And I'll tell you right now, without even doing any more, we have already done so much this year. Without this offering, we have given away over $100,000 to outreach outside the walls of this church. You gave to help people get rescued in Houston during Harvey and in Florida during Irma. And what we're trying to decide is, hey, let's just see how much faster we can do this. It's my job as a pastor to set the vision. This is what I believe God's called us to do. It's your job as the church, through your generosity, to decide how fast are we going to do that. And it's not just this offering that we want to do. We don't want to just give financially, but we want to be able to serve. So here's what I'm asking. If you haven't done it yet, join a dream team. Join a dream team. What's the dream team? The dream team are the group of people that make church happen here every single Sunday. If you remember, our vision is to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and the finish line is to make a difference. Now I'm going to say something that may sound offensive, and I intend for it to be offensive. And that's it. I wasn't even cleaning that up. We don't need you. Is that offensive? Does that work? I don't know if you noticed this, but church happened without you. If you're not in the dream team, you walked into a ready-made church. The children are having their own service. They're being preached to. They're having their small groups. They're having more fun than us because they get goldfish and we don't. We just have to listen to this guy talk and nobody feeds us, but you have your coffee, so you're fine. The production is working. All of this, it's not like, hey, please, please join the church. Join the dream team because we need more help. It's going to happen with or without you. God will supply what we need. But I'm telling you, you need to be on a dream team if you're ever going to be fulfilled. The Bible says that before you were made, God knew you and he formed you for good works, which he predetermined for your life. And so often we run through life looking for that sense of filling, that fulfillment, that satisfaction of I've arrived. We feel like, man, when I get married, I'm going to feel full. And then you're married and you realize I still don't feel full. And then you said, when I have kids, I'm going to feel full. And you have kids and now you want them to leave because you're more empty than you were, especially in your wallet, than before they came. And empty of sleep, God help us. And then you're like, man, when I get that promotion or when I make six figures, when I make double six figures or whatever it may be, here's the problem. God created you where only one thing will fulfill you. When you discover the destiny, the impact that he has placed inside of you to make, and the greatest fulfillment will not come when you're focused on yourself. The greatest fulfillment will come when you're focused on doing what God's called you to do, to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself. So what we've done is coming up on December 9th, we've created something called Fast Track. I joined the dream team, except I got to take Grove Track. Grove Track is 4 weeks. And I'm sorry, Pastor, I travel a lot for work and there's no way I can string 4 weeks together to finish Grove Track. Cool. Well, you can do it all in one day. December 9th, you're going to have an opportunity. It's a Friday, a Saturday at our ministry center. You're going to have an opportunity to do all four steps of the Grove Track in one day. If you haven't done any of it, you can do all four that one day. If you've done one and three, you can just show up for two and four and finish it so you can step in to be a part of what God is doing. The third focus of this season is these little cards. If you look in your worship guide, you'll see these. It's a little card. And it says something extra to show you God loves you. This is one of those things that we do just at the end of every year. And what we're asking is that you would take these. Some of them are in your worship guide and there's stacks and stacks on the info booth. Just grab a stack of them and use it for random acts of kindness over these next 8 weeks. If you're going out to eat, leave an oh my gosh tip. You know what an oh my gosh tip is? An oh my gosh tip is when it's a tip so large that your waiter's like, oh my gosh, or they may say something else. I'm not talking about a 20% tip. I'm talking about a 100% tip. Where you go to Fridays and your bill is $40 and you leave a $40 tip. Where you're just saying, hey, I'm going to go over and above just to let you know. Or maybe you're in the Starbucks line giving your offering to the great goddess of Starbucks. And you're just like, man, I need my Starbucks. Well, pay for the car behind you and ask the little annoying barista, hey, instead of a bill, can you give this to that person behind them? Or if you're eating God's chicken at Chick-fil-A, pay for the person behind you. The goal is that you would tell somebody through your generosity, man, God knows you, and God cares. Statistics show that there's more suicide attempts between Thanksgiving and Christmas than any other time of the year combined. And I don't believe that it's because, you know, it's just more depressing this time of year or whatever it may be. I think that it's just when it comes to the end of the year, we start taking kind of account of our year. Loneliness begins to intensify. We begin to realize that that dream that we were hoping for, that we were dreaming for, may not have yet come to pass. And you may not realize this, but your random small act of kindness is going to bring hope in somebody's life that Jesus still sees them, that God still has a plan for their life. Like Pastor Zai's Jamaican chicken dinner last week. There's the random things. I'm just having way too fun. But there's literally just random things that God will do to show you he loves you and he cares. The last thing that's a part of this season is our Christmas Eve service. Anybody ready for Christmas? I am like, I am counting down the days. I just love Christmas. I was telling a church, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd get a job as an elf. I'd just be Santa's little helper. I'd work for Santa. I just love Christmas. I don't know why it is, but Christmas time is the season where more people are looking for God at Destiny Harvest than any other time. People, there's just something about Christmas that people want to come to church. People want to be a part of some traditional experience. So our Christmas services for years, we've been making them special and just an opportunity for people to encounter God. And this Christmas Eve, which is going to be a Sunday, the Christmas services we've been planning for a week, and they're similar to Welcome Home Sunday. It's just going to be that day where people have an opportunity to find out what Christmas is really about, which is not a week off from work or time to exchange gifts, but hope that literally gave up the majesty of heaven to become human so that you and I can find hope and find peace. We're actually going to be doing three services on Christmas Eve, normal times, 9:30, 11:15 in the morning. And then we're going to be adding a 5 p.m. service. All of the services are going to be identical. There's going to be candle lighting and special. It's just going to be all the way amazing. I heard they're bringing back the spiked eggnog from last year. So whatever you do, that was another joke. Whatever you do, I'm telling you, get a part of this season. Now, I'll say this, that out of all those four things, this is going to be one of those things that's offensive that I'm not going to clean up. If there's not something inside of you that just jumps and says, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of helping people find God and find freedom. And I want to be a part of helping kids find a home where they feel loved and all. If something doesn't get excited inside of you, don't do it. Yeah. Don't give. Don't be a part of it. I feel like as the Christian community, we've slipped into a obligation type of faith where I don't have a passion to do it, but it's what I'm supposed to do, so I'm just going to do it. It's not a get to, it's a have to. There's so many people that you read your Bible not because you have a passion for learning more about God and being formed in Christ, but this is just what good Christians do. So I'm gonna be a good Christian, read my Bible. And I get there is discipline and there is being committed to something. But listen to me, God does not want you to operate out of a have to. God wants you to operate out of a passion of man. I get to go to church. I get to worship God. I get to read my Bible. I get to give. I get to be a part of something that's bigger than myself. And my prayer, I'm going to be honest with you, I pray over this church. And my prayer is that you would shift from a place of have to a place of I get to. I get to be a part of something that is literally impacting the world. And if you're not in that get to place, look what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will. In other words, he says, God will give you the get to. He'll stir a passion in your heart where you don't wake up Sunday morning saying, oh, it's church time. Are we going to go today? I guess so. Let's go. Hear this skinny guy preach. No, but there'll be a passion in your heart of, man, I get to go. Like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It says, but God works in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The New Living says this, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Write this down. This is a really important phrase. If you lose your why, you will lose your way. Maybe you're in here today and you're saying, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have that passion for God. I don't have that passion to be a part of something that's bigger than myself. I don't have a passion to worship or passion to read my word. Where do I find that passion for? If you're lacking passion, not just in church, if you're lacking passion in any other place, get back to what's my why. Because if I remember my why, then I'll find my way. Maybe your marriage is in a place where it's not necessarily on the rocks. It's just kind of, it's a little dry right now. You've lost your way. Well, what you need to do is you need to go back and you need to find your why. Why did I marry you? Why did I decide to spend the rest of my life with you? I'm telling you, if I take PZ out to lunch and I look her in the eye and I say, babe, I married you. Because when we got married, you were the hottest woman on the planet. And today, you are still the hottest woman on the planet. I am telling you, when I remind myself of the why, and that was my why, Jesus and all that was a far, far second. That's the truth. But if I remember my why, I'm telling you, it won't be a I have to. It'll be a I get to. I want to. And here's the deal. I don't want you to do anything out of a have to. It has to be out of a I get to. There's this passage in the Bible about a big offering that Israel was coming together. And it says this in Exodus 35, 21. Then everyone came, watch this, whose heart was stirred. Only the people who had a passion for the house of God came. And it says everyone whose spirit was willing. That's how God wants us to live, with passion and with willingness. And it says, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. And this next passage in 1 Chronicles, and secular historians believe that this was the largest offering, the largest philanthropic, did I nail that word? Help us, Lord. Act of generosity in the history of the world. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, it was the largest gift ever given. And coincidentally, it was a gift to move God's house from a portable situation to a permanent. Isn't that kind of funny? Literally, if you remember when they came out of Egypt, God had them build the tabernacle, the tent where they worshiped, and they would set it up every time they worshiped God. And then when the cloud moved, they would tear it down and they would move with the cloud. Well, when they went into the promised land, when David became king, God's temple was still a tent. People were living in houses and all that, and God was still in a tent. And David said, let's take this offering so that we can move God from a tent and actually build him a house. And look what it says in verse 3 of 1 Chronicles 29. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God. If this was the 2017, David would have said, hashtag, I love my church. He said, because I love where I worship. I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. In other words, David, as the king, he said, I love my church so much that I have given over and above my tithes and offering. I've given my best. And I like this in verse 5. He says this, now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? David said, hey, as the leader, I love the church so much. I'm giving over and above. I'm giving my best. Now who's with me? He literally said, I'm not asking you to give. I'm going to be a part of what God's doing. And I'm just saying, who's going to join me? And look what happens in verse 6. It says, then the leaders of the families of the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands, the commanders in hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave towards the work on the temple of God. And it says, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. It says in this offering to build God's house, before any person gave, the king gave, the leaders gave, those in charge said, hey, don't do what we say, follow our example. I'll tell you this, and this is not to brag or anything like that. It's kind of just my heart. But from day one of this church, we decided, me and my wife and our family, that we're all in. That we are literally going to try our best to be the top givers at Destiny Harvest, which is really, really hard because this is a really, really generous church. But we're not just going to preach a word, but we're going to lead by example that we believe that this house is the hope of the world, that this is a place that God has designed to bring hope and healing to so many people. We were actually praying about what we're personally going to give in this offering. And we were kind of just working through it in our mind. We gave the biggest offering we ever gave in Passion Initiative earlier. earlier this year. And I'm just the kind of guy where I have to do better than I did last year. That's just me. Even if I give $1 more than I give last year, I'm like, God, I'm not going to match what I did last year. And so we're kind of talking, and this is just me being a little transparent. We landed on a number. He said, okay, let's give this. And I said to my wife, I said, babe, we can give that, and that's great, and that's generous, but there, that doesn't hurt. That we can write that and kind of move on. It's not sacrificial. It's not painful at all. And I just feel like we need to go all in. And she says, okay, well, how about this number? And my heart stopped beating. I said, I was talking about being generous. What in the world are you talking about? That there's sacrificial giving, and then there's amputation. The number she called out is like amputation. Now we're talking about pushing back some plans that we had last year and all that other kind of stuff. And as soon as the fear came, kind of an excitement came after it. I've just kind of been in this mode through my entire life of just giving extravagant gifts, and I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle from God. And I began to think, man, if we go all in this manner, what will God not do also, not only in the church, but in our lives because of this act of obedience to Him? I'm telling you, as your pastor, I'm all in. We sat down with the leaders of this church, and they are all in. I am telling you, there's a group of people that are leading you that are passionate about what God is doing in this house, and they're willing to get involved in it. And watch what it says in verse 12. In verse 17, it says this: all these things I have given willing and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. There's only one way to give to God. There's only one type of giving God will accept, and that's a willing giving. In 2 Corinthians 8:12, it says this: for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. When God says if you give because you feel like you were tricked into it, it's not acceptable to Him. If you give because, oh, I'm just, okay, God, fine. He said, no, I want someone who's excited, who believes in what I'm doing in this community, and they want to be a part of it. Now, that wasn't my message. That was the intro. Somebody said, uh-oh. If I was going to name this message, which I'm not because we don't have time, but I'd call it We Get to Give. And what I want to do is I'm just going to give you the blanks. You can write them down, and we're going to close out here. John, you can come out and play because we're at that land the plane time. But I just want to share with you why I give. What's my why? And then the first thing is this, my why, I give because Jesus gave to me first. I don't know about you, but I remember not being a Christian. I remember that shy, insecure guy who doubted everything about himself and was overwhelmed with guilt and shame. And I remember what it was like for the first time ever to feel accepted. And I remember what it was like to realize that God didn't overlook me, but He had a plan and a purpose for my life. And I'll tell you right now, so often people are just like, man, I enjoyed that message. It was just a blessing. You're a great communicator. And I'm going to be honest with you. I hear you, but I don't see any of that. All I see is this scared, timid, fearful kid that God picked out of nowhere, out of nothing, to use in a great way. And I'm telling you, it is my joy, my pleasure to try my best for the rest of my life to outgive a God that has given me more than I could ever ask, think, or imagine. The Bible says this, and you can go back to that verse. In Matthew 10:8, it says, freely you have received, freely give. I dare say you can't freely give until you freely receive the grace and the forgiveness of God. A great theologian says this: once you've given your life to God, if one first gives himself to the Lord, all other giving is easy. It's really difficult to be passionate about God's house and passionate about generosity if you haven't first received from God His grace and His forgiveness. Second reason I give is because it's more blessed to give than to receive. That word blessed means happy. It's happier to give away than to get something back. I'm telling you, I'm a car guy, I love cars. Out of all the cars I've ever driven, the ones I remember most are the ones that God laid in my heart to give to somebody else. The ones I loved most are the ones that I had an opportunity to meet the need of somebody who had a need and wasn't able to meet it themselves. The greatest moments, the greatest dinners I've ever had are the ones when I got a $60 bill and I left a $100 tip and the waitress started crying and said, oh my gosh, you have no idea how this is gonna help me. And I'm telling you, the greatest, happiest moments of your life is not gonna be when you finally get, when you finally drive, when you finally move into. It's gonna be when you're able to give and meet the need of other people. The third thing is this, and you can throw it up. Because I'm in covenant with God and I'm in covenant with you. When God sees a problem, he never sends one person. He always finds a group of people that he can connect to meet the problem that he sees. You may feel, maybe this is just your first time and you're just like, man, this is a great church and I'm just looking for a church where I can grow in my faith and where my children can learn about God. I have some good news and bad news. This is a great church. The bad news is this isn't a church where you can just plug in and kind of receive and be fed and go home. God brought you here on a purpose. He brought you here to be a part of a family that has a mission that is so much bigger and so much greater than us. There's a part that each and every one of us play to see this region redeemed for the grace of God. The fourth thing is this. I really believe in this church. I really believe in this church. This is not like, man, church, yay, let's go to church and let's do that on Sunday and then let's go on about our lives. When my mom passed away, these are the people that rallied around me and got me through that season. On the darkest days of my life and the greatest victories of my life, this is the place that has celebrated with me or has carried me when I didn't want to walk any further. And I'm telling you, that story is not just mine, but over and over and over again. Man, this is a church that prayed for me when I was going through chemo. This is a church that prayed for me when my marriage was struggling. This is the church that prayed for me when my children were sick. So many stories of this is the family that God has placed me in. This is where I find my hope. That's why we exist. And I'm telling you, this is not just a place to go and leave. This is a family that's doing something that is supernatural in a city that so desperately needs it. Fifth thing is this, my obedience releases miracles. I say it over and 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 over again. You can't buy a God. God is not impressed with your money. The Bible says he owns a Cadillac on 1,000 hills. God is maybe not quite what it says, but you get it. God will always supply his needs. But what God will also always do is he will always test you to see if you'll obey, because your obedience is a sign to God that you can be trusted with more. And I'm telling you, no matter where it is, your obedience may be financial. Your obedience may be finally committing to this church. Your obedience may be being a blessing to a coworker or inviting someone to the Christmas service, whatever it is. But when you obey, you position yourself for a supernatural response from heaven. And then the last thing is this. I want to hear well done. I want to hear well done. We don't think about this often, but there is a time when all of this is going to be done. I personally am not going to die. I'm just going to be caught up like Enoch. But there is a time when we're going to be standing before God. And he's going to ask us first, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? And your response can't be, I liked him. He was my homeboy. He was cool. It needs to be, I knew him. He was my Lord, my Savior. But he's going to ask you a second question. He's going to ask you, What did you do with the time I gave you? Did you fulfill the mission that I left you on earth to fulfill? And I want to hear from my God, Stephen, you did it. You had the impact that I made you to have. You touched the lives that I called you to touch. Well done. And I'm going to say, man, no, it was all you, God. I was stuttering the whole time and I was scared. And man, the people were looking back and they were kind of mean, but I kept talking, God, it all worked out. And he's going to say, no, well done. Then he's going to say, come and share in your Father's reward. I'm like, no, I didn't do it for reward. I'm just so grateful that you chose. No. Because you were faithful where you are, come and share in your Father's reward. That's our goal. That our Father can say, you did it. You did it. You did what I made you and left you on earth to do. Let's find our why. Let's get passionate about what God has called us to do as a church. Can we pray? Father God, we are so grateful, God, to be used by you, God, for something that's so much bigger than us. Just you are where you are with your eyes closed and your head bowed. Can you pray this prayer with me? Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Just give God a moment. Allow him to make this time, this message personal to you. Maybe you've lost your passion. You've lost your way. In this moment, God is restoring your why. Maybe you're in here and you know in your heart of hearts that if you were to stand before Jesus, which at some point you will, and he were to ask you, what did you do with the cross? What did you do with Jesus Christ? You know you won't be able to say that I've accepted him. I've given my life to him. That's what it's all about. That's what church is all about. Before anything else is knowing God for yourself. If you're in here and you say, Pastor, I know church, I know religion or whatever, but I can't say that I personally know Jesus. I can't say he is a part of my life, but I want him to be. I want him to be my Lord and my Savior. Oh, it'd be my greatest honor, my greatest privilege as a pastor to introduce you to a God that loves you more than you can love yourself.